people think that they can just, once they get their certification or they get their education or they get whatever it is, that after that, it's just going to be like, okay, start my business and people start coming to me. And it's like, no, actually, you got to, at the beginning, you got to go to them. You got to be in their face. You got to figure out what your systems are going to be to generate leads and things like that.
Podcast Junkies, episode 246. Welcome back. I'm your host, Harry Duran. Happy New Year to everyone, 2021. And needless to say, 2020 was an incredible year for the books. Lots of hardship, lots of challenges faced by many people, myself included. But I think what is important is having the resilience to get back up and ensure that what we're doing for 2021 is going to be better. And recording this on January 8th, after witnessing what was a historic event in the Capitol with the siege that took place there, and just when you thought 2021 was going to be a little bit different, it seems like we're always needing to prepare for what's to come because we don't know. And it was just been an interesting couple of days and sort of threw me for a loop. I know that evening I had meant to get the show out a little bit earlier, but was processing that as well. So anyway, hope you and your loved ones are doing well. If you are new to the show, it's the one where we speak to interesting voices in podcasting and get them to just relax and talk a little bit about themselves, their shows, and whatever else is motivating them to move forward. And last one of 2020, we spoke to Sarah St. John. She's an entrepreneur, a writer, an animal lover, and the host of the Frugalpreneur podcast. So make sure you check that out, episode 245. This episode is brought to you by Focusrite, and specifically the Scarlett 2i2 sound card, one of my favorite go-to sound cards, something I use for each and every podcast recording. The 3G line is a go-to for all new podcasters. Find out more at podcastjunkies.com/Focusrite, and the link will be in the show notes as well. This week, I get to speak to Haley Rowe. She's a business coach, a sales and marketing strategist, and host of Health Coach Nation. She joins the show to discuss her background in business and how her resiliency and her passion comes through in her podcast. She's worked over 8 years as a health coach and in business development for two rapidly growing health startup companies. She became passionate about helping other coaches go beyond their certifications and addresses the missing pieces that are holding them back from success. As with many entrepreneurs, Haley has an interesting origin story, and she shares the first item she sold online and the mentors who helped her along the way. She points to a definitive moment in her early life that taught her a valuable lesson and shares her entrepreneurial aha moment, as well as some of the meaningful interactions she's had with her clients. We learn about the inspiration behind and the format structure of her podcast, Health Coach Nation, and how she's matured as a podcast host. Let's not forget that this episode is also brought to you by Fullcast. Fullcast.co is the website. If you need help with any aspect of your show, from launch to production and marketing, we can help. Schedule a free chat at fullcast.co/chat15 about your existing or new show. I had a new 5-star review come in from Juana Poreo. She writes, "Harry has some great guests on his podcast, and I especially enjoy the Russ Johns interview. Fabulous guests with a wealth of knowledge, highly recommended for anyone who wants to learn about anything." Thank you so much, Juana. I really appreciate you taking the time to write that. And if you're interested in supporting the show and writing a review, head to ratethispodcast.com/podcastjunkies, and I'd be more than happy to read it out on a future episode. As always, full show notes available at podcastjunkies.com/246. Make sure you stay to the end of the episode where I reveal this week's retention hashtag. But for now, let's get into this conversation with Haley. So Haley Rowe, host of Health Coach Nation, thank you so much for joining us on Podcast Junkies.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, and I'm definitely a podcast junkie, so this is perfect.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a long night, so just to date stamp this, it is the day after Election Day. I myself went to sleep at 2 a.m. I don't know how late you were up, but it's been an interesting 24 hours, to say the least, for the country.
Yes, I went to bed around 12 or 12:30, and then I was like, you know what? It's not going to change anything, me staying up. So
Yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And that's probably a topic for another podcast, another type of podcast show. So I'm curious, because I had the pleasure of being on your show. So thank you for that opportunity. But what I thought was really interesting is I feel like you have a lot of things in motion, you know, from an entrepreneurial perspective. I'm curious if you remember what was the first thing you ever sold online.
Ooh, that's a good question. So the first thing I ever sold online, well, I don't know if you can qualify it as online, but the first thing I ever sold with a company was fitness products. So you did have to buy those online. But the first thing I sold on my own was probably an ebook. And it was only one copy was bought. And it was a really dumb decision to make that ebook because I did no market research and just felt like it was a great idea. Yeah. And it was not a great idea. And so I learned a lot from that. That was a long time ago. And I realized I will never do that again unless I know that people actually want it. There's a market for this before spending a lot of time making like a 200 page ebook.
Not even a small ebook, a 200 page ebook.
Oh, yeah. It was intense.
Were you comfortable sharing like what the subject was?
Yeah. So at the time, I wrote it out of my own frustration with skin health. So I had acne and a lot of issues with that. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to write this ebook about how I like helped my acne and done it naturally and got off the antibiotics and blah, blah, blah. And it was called Youth Proof, which was, again, just a dumb name. And, you know, it was not my best decision, but somebody bought it. One person bought it.
Well, I think what's interesting, and any entrepreneur can relate to this, is you don't know what you don't know in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's no one to help you unless you just were lucky enough to have entrepreneurial friends. I always tell people, like, when I left my 9-to-5 job, I didn't know. I mean, in college, they don't teach anything about being an entrepreneur. They certainly don't tell you about lead pages, lead magnets, like marketing, copywriting, all these things you sort of have to learn on your own. And that's why masterminds and these group programs are valuable in the beginning to just help you understand. I always say my entry into like the world of digital marketing was like Narnia. Like you go in there and you're like, whoa, like who are all these people? And it's so funny because it seems cringeworthy now when you think about the ebook, but in the beginning, like I was given that advice too, like you should have an ebook and people will like clamor to like download it and read it. And then you quickly realize being an entrepreneur that you don't have time to read a 200-page ebook.
Right. And the other thing I think is that's really common is people think that they can just, once they get their certification or they get their education or they get whatever it is, that after that, it's just going to be like, okay, start my business and people start coming to me. And it's like, no, actually, you got to, at the beginning, you got to go to them. You got to be in their face. You got to figure out what your systems are going to be to generate leads and things like that. So I think that's another common misconception. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll just get this thing. And then people will start asking me about my business. And
So can you point, and it may not be one thing, but can you point to a specific group that you found, something you read or a mentor you found that began to like give you some of those aha moments? I was like, oh, this is like a better way forward.
Yes. So there's a couple life teachers and people that helped me. First, I got a bunch of certifications, just like I was mentioning earlier, and I knew I wanted to coach people. I knew I wanted to have my own business. I knew I wanted to be based out of service and do stuff online. And one of the best teachers that, it wasn't a person in particular, but it was working in the startup world, because I did that for a little while and worked on the business development and marketing team. And I realized how fast you have to learn things, how to be resourceful and just go figure things out. The fact that you have to make a decision and just line up with it and overanalyze every little thing and waste a ton of time. So I think that was a super valuable lesson for me, because as somebody who had a bunch of certifications and wanted to have my own business, I still didn't have the character traits or the characteristics to be like, I wouldn't have known how to be resourceful or how to like go figure things out or feel more confident in that if I didn't work in the startup world. So that was one thing. But as far as mentors and programs and things like that, I'm a huge podcast junkie. I love people like old and new, meaning I love people who talk about strategy and traits and characteristics, and like people like Dan Sullivan and people who just embody. I love Alex Sharfin. I know you do too, I think. You know, people like that. But I also like the people who talk about what works online currently and that kind of stuff, like the Russell Brunsons of the world. So I would say there's been a lot of great coaches and mentors and programs I've done, and I've taken away, even on the ones where I felt like in the moment I didn't get my ROI or I got something different than I expected, still those provided great wisdom for me about what, how to make better decisions, how to, you know, how I don't want to be. Like, so I think every, whether it's been a good investment or a bad investment or a good mentor or what I labeled at the time as a bad mentor, which I don't label it like that anymore, it's been helpful and useful.
Yeah, I think it's just as important, the mistakes, so we know like not to do those again. Mm-hmm. And I think as an entrepreneur, what I learned is this concept of failing fast or failing forward, you know, because there will be failures. And I think if people think they're going to become an entrepreneur and not have failures, you know, Tim Ferriss likes to talk about like the hundreds of book publishers he sent his draft for the 4-hour work week to, you know, yeah, before someone decided. And I think, did you find that you built up this resilience that you didn't know you had when you became an entrepreneur, just like this tough skin, or, you know, just kind of like this, I hate to use the word hustle because it's, I feel like it's overused, but this idea of like I have to make this work, like there is no plan B.
Yes, 100%. And I really, in the beginning of my coaching business, I was hustling hard, and I, you know, was a listening to Grant Cardone and like the 10X rule. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. And I'm trying all these different things. And I'm looking like, and I felt like sometimes in the beginning of my business, when people would ask me about my business, I felt like a dog with my tail between my legs. Like, I'm working freaking hard, but I'm not seeing the fruits of my labor yet. Yeah. And there came a time where you have this thing called the compound effect, as they say. And that started to take off. And then I was freed. You know, I started looking at, well, what am I doing that's not working? How can I focus on the things that work the most and double down on those? How can I find people who are better than me to help with certain things? So then you start to become smarter and work smarter. But I do think there was a period of time, and I can't even remember the original question. What was the original question?
No, I think just this resilience, like,
yes,
you know,
resilience. Okay. Yeah. So there was a period of time where I was really going for it and had to develop a lot of resilience and have a fast bounce back rate and not take things super personally in my business, because it was a lot of rejection. It was a lot of learning curve. It was a lot of mistakes. And to this day, I still make mistakes, but there was a time period where it really was hard. And so I think that if nothing else, entrepreneurship is the best personal development crash course you could possibly take, because you have to learn what are your weaknesses, take responsibility for everything. Even if somebody else messes up or a client's not ideal, it's still your fault because you either went through with it, or you didn't communicate something, or you didn't set boundaries, etc. So I think taking that responsibility is a lot, but it also makes you empowered, and it allows you to develop this thick skin and learn how to bounce back when you have setbacks.
Is there anything in the way you were raised or experiences you had early on where you can look back and you can see, oh, I think I am where I am now because of, like, you know, that family lesson or that life lesson or something early on?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up as a singer, and I also dabbled in acting. And I would say that going on auditions, putting out original music, which is like very embarrassing, especially when you're in middle school, which is when I started, it is something that trains you to care less about what people think. And, you know, I got bullied about one of my songs, which at the net, looking back, I'm like, I kind of understand why it was really bad.
Is it online?
At the time, I thought it was so great. Yeah. And so I think that having that experience made me realize, like, oh yeah, that happens. But then time goes on and people are not thinking about you as much as you think they're thinking about you, and you just move on and you keep growing and you learn from it.
Is any of your old music online?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. And I, the worst part is I don't know my logins to go take it down. So I thought about this before, but I had somebody helping me with my music management, and I no longer have that person's contact information. I can't find them. I don't know how to take it down. So it's out there.
Well, that's funny, because it's just, well, it's interesting, because when you tell the story, it's something to point back to and be like, look, I've tried stuff, like I've put myself out there, and you actually have proof that you've done it as well.
My theory in life is, like, if you can't look back 5 years ago, 3 years ago or whatever and be like, what was I doing? Or like, that was so weird. You're not living. You got to do that kind of stuff.
Not only are you not living, you're not growing, you're not evolving, because you should be. It's almost like shedding your skin, like every couple of years, and be like, okay, like I'm a new version. And to your point, if you do look back and you're like, oh, I'm doing exactly the same stuff I was doing like 3 years or 5 years ago, like what's up with that? You know?
Yeah.
I studied acting as well. I studied for 3 years in New York City. So yeah.
Nice. Do you have any embarrassing things out there?
No, nothing online, Okay. But it was tiny. It was like a black box theater. And so you'd have to do these scenes where you're like, strip down to your boxers and get in this like bed with this, like, your fellow actor, and there's like 20 people like in a room like looking at you, and you're like but it was interesting because it very, very quickly got you out of your comfort zone.
For sure.
And it's like puts the pressure on you to just like, okay, like you can't like be embarrassed like about these things. You have to like get over yourself and realize like, hey, it's, you know, we all stumble, we all fall. And I think as entrepreneurs, you know, we all think like, this is the one thing that I'm going to do. And if I don't do it and I'm a failure, like everyone's going to see that I can't make it. And I think the more experiences we have in life that show us that no, life is not going to be handed to you, like the stronger we become.
Totally. I can think of many. I took improv classes and all that stuff. And I also think of this one dance class I took where one day they said there was a break dance circle or something. And I was so bad at dance. It's not natural to me at all. And we had to get in the circle to lip gloss and do some freestyling by ourselves in a circle of people watching us. So that was like one of the worst things ever. But when you go through those things, your tolerance level gets higher.
Yes. Yes. I tend to be the one now at some of these, back when we went to live events, remember those? I'm inevitably be the one that, if there's a karaoke setup, I'm going to be the one singing Rapper's Delight on stage.
Ooh, I like it.
So when did you start to feel like as an entrepreneur, like things were starting to click and you were starting to put together what would become like the outline of like the programs you have now?
Yes. So things started to click when I got let go from one of my jobs where it was a startup. They were facing a lot of delays. They were having a bunch of problems and they had to get a bunch of approvals for certain devices that they were going to have in their center. And the entire team got let go. And what I learned from that was that really either having a job or creating your own thing, both are risky, both are scary. And so I figured, well, I'd rather put my time into trying to figure it out myself and betting on myself here, because I've always wanted to do that. And now I have this opportunity and I realized the worst thing that could happen when you have a job happened. So really, this is about equally as risky. So I did start to look for how can I put together a framework that teaches some of the things I learned in business from that time period, and also is relevant to what's going on now in the world, in the online marketing world. So, you know, went through some programs myself. I, you know, did a lot of market research with the people I was hoping to help. And I started to develop my framework, which I call Grow Your Business the Fast Way. And it stands for followers, which just means like having a full pipeline in your coaching business of potential good quality leads. Action, which is just how do you create content that compels people to take action and is relevant enough that they want to work with you. And then S stands for sales. So how do you overcome your fears around sales? How do you structure your sales process? That kind of thing. And then time and transformation, which is time management. What the heck? How do you not get distracted and have shiny object syndrome? And then transformation, the personal transformation you have to go on and the transformation you want to provide for your clients and what that looks like in your offers. So that came together. That clicked in the sauna one day. I just came up with that randomly. But all of it leading up to that was a lot of personal conversations that I've talked to hundreds of coaches. I mean, I don't even know, maybe thousands. I don't know. But that hearing what they struggle with, being able to present solutions for them, being able, and also my life coaching background came into play with some of the mindset stuff that comes up when you are on your business journey. So yeah, it all started to click when I realized there was this natural interest of people asking me certain questions based on the experience that I had. And it kind of went from there and asked, how can I teach this in a way that provides a framework or is a method or isn't just kind of abstract? So that's where it came from.
Do you remember a specific experience with a client where you felt like, because we all have that moment where like, wow, I'm actually adding value to this person, like, and or I'm changing something in their lives, or they're having the desired outcome that my program, you know, says it's going to provide. Like, and when you have that feeling, personally, I know that it feels good, and I'm wondering if you can remember when you've experienced that.
Oh yeah, so I mean, there wasn't a specific like brain-blowing moment, but I would say that helping my clients, like seeing my clients have sales come in and book their first client or book their first high ticket client or do something they never thought was possible. Like they, for example, were in this corporate job, whatever, and they never thought it would be possible to sell a $4,000 health coaching package or something. And then they do it. That to me is so thrilling. And even though it's a sale, which I know is like kind of superficial and, you know, whatever, but they're making the impact they're meant to make. And they're doing it in a way that's sustainable and not going to be a hobby now for them and actually a business, which allows them to keep doing it and keep making their impact. So to me, there's nothing more exciting than when my clients are like, oh my God, I did that thing that I was scared to do or I didn't know I could do. And I keep a whole folder of like nice things that my clients have said to me because my love language probably is words of affirmation. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My partner and I talk about that because we have differing ones and we got to get those aligned sometimes. So what's interesting there is like, those are helpful too. Like when you're having a down day, you probably like pull out that folder and be like, okay, I need a boost here because I'm having a tough day. When did you start thinking that a podcast would be something helpful to add into the mix?
You know, I really started the podcast completely differently. It was more about health because I was at the time, that's what I felt like talking about with people. And I used it as an excuse to go get people to talk to me who I wanted to talk to. And so that's how it started. But now it has transformed into more of a nurturing tool and just a additional way to, I love the idea of being in the ears of your ideal client. And there's nothing more personal and intimate than that. And I know for me how much podcasts have changed. Podcasts have probably taught me more than my education, any mentor, like everything. I am obsessed with podcasts. So I knew I thought it'd be so cool to have one of my own. And I knew what a profound impact it had on me. And so that's kind of another reason why I wanted to do it.
Talk a little bit more about the impact, because I can sense the energy and excitement that you have for them. So like, I want that, you know, it just bears repeating, especially on this show. Like we can geek out on podcasting and I want to learn more about, you know, how you came to feel that and why podcasts were the vehicle for that.
Yeah. So I think for me, as somebody who's always been an old soul and always been somebody who is very eager to learn things, and an auditory learner. That's the third thing. If I read things, sure, I soak in some of it, but if I listen to something, it really drives it home for me. So I think that when, like some of the moments where I've like realized it's been so helpful is, number one, when I did get let go from my job, I had to pour into personal development. And so podcasts were there for me when I was recovering from a time where I didn't really want to talk to other people about it. I just kind of wanted to introspectively listen to somebody else, like tell me how to think and So that was really important. And then I think business-wise, on any topic or thing I'm struggling with at the moment, you can literally search those phrase words and find something to help you solve that problem for free. So it blows my mind that more people don't take advantage of podcasts, especially when you're in your car or on a walk or something like that, getting ready in the morning. Like, to me, it's like the best gift ever. And education, I mean, in school and whatnot, I think that I have nothing against that, but I think that podcasts are able to be so tailored to whatever you need right now, and you could go search something and find it. And it's like you have these mentors available to you.
Yeah. And I think people, to your point, underestimate just how much you can learn on a podcast, especially when they're done well and you have these multi-part sequences and literally like figure things out and like, how do I create a landing page or what's mm-hmm. the, and even keeping up to date, especially in the world of digital marketing, like